I've seen multiple Fortune 500 companies bring down their entire GKE cluster due to a misconfigured autopilot setup, and it's astonishing how such a powerful feature can turn into a liability if not used correctly. For instance, we had a client who accidentally set up their autopilot cluster with a default node pool that was not optimized for their workload, resulting in a 30% increase in costs and a significant degradation of performance. And what makes that even harder is that the default settings for autopilot are not always clear, especially when it comes to features like workload identity federation, which can be a game changer for securing GCP services, but requires a deep understanding of the underlying architecture.
What makes GKE Autopilot even more complex is the distinction between autopilot and standard mode, and how that affects the management of node pools, network policies, and security configurations. I'd push back on the idea that autopilot is a set-it-and-forget-it solution, as we've seen teams struggle with the nuances of managing node autoscaling, pod disruption budgets, and network policies in autopilot mode, and the lack of control over these settings can lead to unexpected behavior, especially when integrating with other GCP services like cloud storage or cloud SQL. And the recent introduction of GKE Dataplane V2 and Cilium integration has added another layer of complexity to the mix.
We actually ran into this last quarter when working with a client who was trying to implement binary authorization and attesters for their supply chain security, and they were struggling to understand how to configure the policy controllers and how to integrate with their existing CI/CD pipeline. And it turned out that they were using an outdated version of the policy controller, which was causing the issues. And what was even more surprising was that they were not using the config connector for GCP resource management, which would have simplified the process of managing their GKE cluster and other GCP resources, and would have also provided better visibility into their costs and resource utilization.
I'd like to add that the thing most teams miss about binary authorization is that it's not just about securing the supply chain, but also about ensuring compliance with regulatory requirements. And that's where workload identity federation comes into play, as it allows teams to manage access to GCP services in a more granular way and to integrate with their existing identity and access management systems. And we've seen teams use workload identity federation to implement fine-grained access controls and to automate the provisioning of service accounts. And credentials and the integration with Anthos Service Mesh has also been a game changer for teams with hybrid workloads, as it provides a unified way of managing service identity and access across different environments.
The GKE Cost Optimization Hub is another critical component in the cost control equation, as it provides detailed insights into node utilization, pod scheduling, and resource allocation, and allows teams to identify areas of waste and optimize their cluster configuration. And the use of spot nodes has also become increasingly popular, as it can provide significant cost savings, especially for stateless workloads. But what's often overlooked is the need to carefully evaluate the trade-offs between cost and performance, and to implement robust monitoring and alerting to ensure that the use of spot nodes does not compromise the overall reliability of the system. And we've seen teams use the GKE Cost Optimization Hub to optimize their cluster configuration and to implement automated scaling and node management policies.
What makes that even harder is that the cost optimization process is not a one-time event, but rather an ongoing process that requires continuous monitoring and refinement. And that's where the integration with other GCP services like cloud monitoring and cloud logging comes into play, as it provides a unified view of the system's performance and cost and allows teams to make data-driven decisions about their cluster configuration and resource allocation. And we've seen teams use the GKE Cost Optimization Hub to implement automated cost optimization pipelines and to integrate with their existing CI/CD workflows. And the results have been impressive, with some teams achieving cost savings of up to 50% without compromising performance.
We've also seen teams struggle with the complexities of implementing Anthos Service Mesh for hybrid workloads and the need to integrate with existing service registries and to manage the nuances of service identity and access control in a multi-environment setup, and the recent updates to the Anthos Service Mesh have added new features like traffic management and security policies, which have simplified the process of managing service mesh configurations. But what's often overlooked is the need to carefully evaluate the trade-offs between the different service mesh options and implement robust testing and validation to ensure that the chosen solution meets the requirements of the business. And we've seen teams use Anthos Service Mesh to implement complex service mesh topologies and to integrate with their existing CI/CD.
I push back on the idea that Anthos Service Mesh is a silver bullet for hybrid workloads, as it requires a deep understanding of the underlying architecture and a significant investment in training and support. And what's often overlooked is the need to carefully evaluate the care for two costs and benefits of implementing a service mesh, and to ensure that the chosen solution aligns with the overall business strategy. And we've seen teams struggle with the complexities of implementing Anthos Service Mesh and the need to integrate with existing systems and processes. And the results have been mixed, with some teams achieving significant benefits while others have struggled to realize the expected value.
When it comes to real-world examples, we've seen companies like Coca-Cola and Home Depot leverage GKE Autopilot to simplify their Kubernetes operations, and they've achieved significant reductions in operational overhead, with Autopilot handling tasks such as node provisioning, upgrades, and scaling, allowing their teams to focus on application development and deployment. And we've also seen companies like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley use Workload Identity Federation to secure their containerized applications. By enabling Workload Identity Federation, they can establish trust between their Kubernetes clusters and other identity providers, such as Active Directory or Google Workspace. And this has simplified their security posture and reduced the complexity of managing multiple identity systems.
One war story that comes to mind is a large financial services company that attempted to implement binary authorization on their GKE cluster, but they encountered issues with configuring the policy controller, and they had to work closely with the Google support team to resolve the issues. And what was interesting was that they had to customize the policy controller to accommodate their specific use case, which involved integrating with an external certificate authority, and they also had to develop custom tooling to automate the process of generating and rotating certificates. And this experience highlights the importance of careful planning and testing when implementing binary authorization, and the need to consider the specific requirements of your organization, such as regulatory compliance and security standards.
In terms of enterprise patterns, we're seeing a lot of interest in using GKE as a platform for modernizing legacy applications, and this involves lifting and shifting existing applications, Kubernetes, and then gradually refactoring them to take advantage of cloud-native capabilities such as service mesh and serverless computing. And we're also seeing companies adopt a hub-and-spoke model for their Kubernetes deployments, where they have a central hub cluster that provides shared services, such as logging and monitoring, and then multiple spoke clusters that are dedicated to specific applications or teams. And this approach helps to simplify management and reduce costs, while also improving security and compliance.
Advanced use cases for GKE include using it as a platform for machine learning and data science workloads. And we're seeing companies like Uber and Airbnb use GKE to deploy and manage their ML models. And they're taking advantage of the scalability and flexibility of Kubernetes to train and deploy their models. And we're also seeing interest in using GKE for edge computing, where companies are deploying Kubernetes clusters at the edge of their network to reduce latency and improve real-time processing. And this requires careful consideration of the networking and security implications, such as configuring network policies and implementing encryption.
When it comes to integration points, GKE provides a wide range of APIs and tools for integrating with other Google Cloud services, such as Cloud Storage and Cloud CQL, and we're seeing companies use these integration points to build complex workflows and data pipelines, and we're also seeing interest in integrating GKE with other cloud providers, such as AWS and Azure, to enable hybrid and multi-cloud deployments. And this requires careful consideration of the security and networking implications, such as configuring firewall rules and implementing identity and access management.
Security considerations for GKE include ensuring that the cluster is properly configured and secured, with features such as network policies and secret management. And we're also seeing companies adopt a zero-trust security model, where they verify the identity of every workload and user, and they use tools like Workload Identity Federation to establish trust between their Kubernetes clusters and other identity providers. And we're also seeing interest in using GKE's built-in security features, such as shielded GKE nodes and binary authorization to provide an additional layer of protection against threats and vulnerabilities. And this requires careful consideration of the trade-offs between security and usability, such as configuring pod security policies and implementing audit logging.
When it comes to implementing these security features in real-world scenarios, we've seen companies like Netflix and Airbnb leverage GKE's autopilot mode to automate cluster management and reduce the risk of human error, while also utilizing Workload Identity Federation to establish trust between their Kubernetes clusters and other identity providers, such as Active Directory or cloud-based identity services. For instance, a major financial services company used Autopilot to deploy a highly available and secure GKE cluster with built-in network policies and secret management, which significantly reduced the attack surface and improved compliance with regulatory requirements. Additionally, we've seen companies utilize GKE's binary authorization to ensure that only trusted and verified images are deployed to their clusters, which provides an additional layer of protection against supply chain attacks and vulnerabilities. This approach requires careful configuration of the binary authorization policy, including setting up a central registry for trusted images and integrating with existing CI/CD pipelines.
Another critical aspect of GKE security is the implementation of enterprise patterns, such as defense in depth and least privilege access, which can be achieved through the use of network policies, pod security policies, and role-based access control. For example, a major retailer used GKE's network policies to restrict traffic between pods and services, while also implementing a least privilege access model using Kubernetes role-based access control, which significantly reduced the risk of lateral movement and unauthorized access. We've also seen companies utilize GKE's integration with other Google Cloud services, such as Cloud Security Command Center and Cloud Audit Logs, to provide a unified view of security posture and compliance across their entire cloud estate. Furthermore, advanced use cases like machine learning and data analytics require specialized security considerations, such as secure data processing and storage, which can be addressed through the use of GKE's built-in security features and integration with other Google Cloud services, such as Cloud Data Loss Prevention and Cloud Key Management Service.
In terms of war stories, I recall working with a company that had a complex Kubernetes deployment with multiple clusters and namespaces, and they were struggling to manage access control and security policies across their entire environment. We helped them implement a centralized identity management system using Workload Identity Federation, which integrated with their existing Active Directory infrastructure, and also set up a unified binary authorization policy across all their clusters. This approach significantly improved their security posture and reduced the risk of unauthorized access, while also simplifying their access control and security management processes. Additionally, we've seen companies utilize GKE's cost estimator and cost allocation features to optimize their cluster costs and improve budgeting and forecasting, which is critical for large-scale enterprise deployments.
When it comes to integration points, GKE provides a wide range of APIs and interfaces for integrating with other Google Cloud services and third-party tools, such as CI/CD pipelines, monitoring and logging tools, and security information and event management systems. For example, a major gaming company used GKE's API to integrate their cluster with their existing CI/CD pipeline, which enabled them to automate deployment and scaling of their applications while also leveraging GKE's built-in security features to ensure secure and compliant deployments. We've also seen companies utilize GKE's integration with Cloud Build and Cloud Source repositories to automate their software development lifecycle, from code commit to production. Deployment, which provides a high degree of automation and security. Furthermore, advanced use cases like hybrid and multi-cloud deployments require specialized integration and security considerations, such as secure data transfer and consistent security policies, which can be addressed through the use of GKE's built-in security features and integration with other Google Cloud services.
Another critical aspect of GKE security is the implementation of audit logging and monitoring, which provides visibility into cluster activity and helps detect potential security threats. For instance, a major healthcare company used GKE's audit logging feature to monitor and analyze cluster activity, which helped them detect and respond to a potential security incident in real time. We've also seen companies utilize GKE's integration with cloud logging and cloud monitoring to provide a unified view of security posture and compliance across their entire cloud estate. Additionally, companies can leverage GKE's cost control features, such as node auto-scaling and resource allocation, to optimize their cluster costs and improve budgeting and forecasting, which is critical for large-scale enterprise deployments.
In terms of real-world examples, we've seen companies like Coca-Cola and Home Depot leverage GKE's autopilot mode to automate cluster management and reduce the risk of human error, while also utilizing workload identity federation to establish trust between their Kubernetes clusters and other identity providers. For example, a major retail company used Autopilot to deploy a highly available and secure GKE cluster with built-in network policies and secret management, which significantly reduced the attack surface and improved compliance with regulatory requirements. We've also seen companies utilize GKE's binary authorization to ensure that only trusted and verified images are deployed to their clusters, which provides an additional layer of protection against supply chain attacks and vulnerabilities. Furthermore, advanced use cases like machine learning and data analytics require specialized security considerations, such as secure data processing and storage, which can be addressed through the use of GKE's built-in security features and integration with other Google Cloud.
When it comes to enterprise patterns, companies can leverage GKE's built-in security features and integration with other Google Cloud services to implement a defense-in-depth strategy, which provides multiple layers of protection against security threats. For instance, a major financial services company used GKE's network policies to restrict traffic between pods and services, while also implementing a least privilege access model using Kubernetes. Role-based access control, which significantly reduced the risk of lateral movement. And unauthorized access. We've also seen companies utilize GKE's integration with Cloud Security Command Center and Cloud Audit Logs to provide a unified view of security posture and compliance across their entire cloud estate. Additionally, companies can leverage GKE's cost control features, such as node auto-scaling and resource allocation, to optimize their cluster costs and improve budgeting and forecasting, which is critical for large-scale enterprise deployments.
In terms of security considerations, companies should carefully evaluate their GKE deployment and identify potential security risks and vulnerabilities, such as unsecured networks and insecure data. Storage. For example, a major healthcare company used GKE's built-in security features, such as network policies and secret management, to secure their cluster and protect sensitive patient data. We've also seen companies utilize GKE's integration with Cloud Security Command Center and Cloud Audit Logs to provide a unified view of security posture and compliance across their entire cloud. Estate. Furthermore, advanced use cases like hybrid and multi-cloud deployments require specialized security considerations, such as secure data transfer and consistent security policies, which can be addressed through the use of GKE's built-in security features and integration with...
All right, so as we wrap up this episode on GCP-GKE, I think there are a few key takeaways that really stand out to me. Firstly, Autopilot is a game changer for reducing operational overhead and improving security. Secondly, Workload Identity Federation is a powerful tool for managing identities and access across multiple clusters. And thirdly, binary authorization is essential for ensuring the integrity of your workloads.
I agree with Daniel on those points, but I'd like to add a few of my own. For me, the integration of GKE with Cloud Security Command Center and Cloud Audit Logs is a major win for security and compliance. I also think that cost control is often overlooked, but features like automated scaling and right-sizing can make a huge difference to your bottom line. And finally, I think the importance of monitoring and logging cannot be overstated, especially when it comes to troubleshooting and optimizing your GKE clusters.
I see what you're saying, Diana, but I still think that security is the top priority. If your cluster isn't secure, nothing else matters.
I understand where you're coming from, Daniel, but I have to disagree. I think that security and cost control are closely tied. If you're not careful, your security measures can end up breaking the bank. You need to find a balance between the two.
That's a fair point, Diana. I suppose we'll just have to agree to disagree on this one.
That's what makes the conversation interesting, right? Anyway, thanks for tuning in to this episode on GCP-GKE. If you'd like to learn more, check out the links in our show notes.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast for more episodes on cloud computing and related topics.
We'll catch you all on the next one. Bye for now.